Welcome to the Learning Reinvented podcast, brought to you by James Politilo
and Katie Godin from The Learning Effect.
There are lots of learning podcasts out there, so we wanted to do something slightly different. In this episode, we'll be taking a look at user-generated content and why you should be considering this as an approach for your business. So Katie, this was triggered by an event I attended last week, and someone asked a question about user-generated content, and they were a bit at sea as to where they should start, how they would make it work, etc., etc. And I know that's something that we've long used and advocated and supported clients with. So do you want to give people a little bit of a background as to what user-generated content is and why people should think about using it?
There's lots of different types of content that you can use to support your business, one of which is user-generated content. Other types of content are things like off-the-shelf content that you can buy. So you can buy kind of libraries and things like that, and it's generic and it's not kind of personal to your business. And you can also have learning teams that are internal, so they're creating digital content. So that's generally your content that's going to be on the system for a long time, and they'll use kind of authoring tools and things like that. Whereas user-generated content can be made by anyone in your business. And you kind of have a focus to subject matter experts. So the people that are doing that job day in, day out, and really understand it, and that then you can teach them skills to be able to generate some content. It's a bit more authentic, it's a bit more rough and ready. It's rather than using kind of authoring tools and things like that, like digital learning teams would use. But it's really powerful because it's generally peer-to-peer content. So people like to engage with it a lot more than just kind of your generic content that's on there.
So looking at that, if you're considering content for your business, traditionally people, as you said, might have bought libraries of content, or they might have specifically gone externally and had a bit of content developed or by their own in-house team. This is tapping into that wider audience of your people within your business to generate that content directly. Now, I can see lots of people thinking about the ways you do that. So what are the different types of user-generated content that you can produce?
You can produce any type of content. So it doesn't have to be one specific type, but you can have anything from kind of short videos. Everyone's got mobile phones nowadays, so you've got a camera that's already there and you can use them to make videos. There's lots of kind of free editing tools that help you support that. You've got like things like one pages, so like it might be a PDF document. You can create infographics. Things like Canva are really good to help support that as well. So you don't necessarily have to be a graphic designer to be able to do that. You can create sometimes within the learning system, you'll be able to create content within that, so it will have its own authoring tool, so you can create little articles and other bits and ask questions and things like that. So there are lots of different ways. So anything that you can think that will produce a bit of content, you'll be able to do that, as long as like the learning system you're using will help you support that, or however you're going to share that content out, for example. But yeah, you're not kind of stuck on one, and you're not you don't have to just use one type of content.
So if the world's your oyster and you can produce all of these different types of content, and the whole point of this is to tap into that sort of subject matter experts knowledge and share best practice across your business, that's all very well, but how do you help those SMEs who are maybe feeling a bit daunted or intimidated by the thought of you coming to them and saying, can you produce me some content? Or wouldn't it be great if we could share your knowledge across the business? What tips have you got for people to be able to put that together and support SMEs on that journey?
Yeah, like you said, I think it is quite daunting for those people that are producing content for the first time, and especially if they're like the first kind of cohort of SMEs as such. But what I've done previously is created a sort of community of SMEs and given them the toolbox. So I've sat down with the SMEs and actually given them the skills and understanding of how to create content, whether you're putting it into a learning plan, how to kind of break that content down. So like the what, the how. And they've then got that tool and those skills to be able to go away and produce that content. But maybe for the first one that they're doing, you might support them with it and always be there to ask questions and answer those questions as well. So they're not doing it completely on their own. But you find once people have done it kind of once or twice, they become more confident at it and they're able to kind of run with it a little bit more. And sometimes get other people on board as well. And you always have the fear of missing out. So you're kind of like, well, so-and-so is doing it over there, so I want to kind of do that as well. So you end up kind of getting lots of people producing content as well. So yeah, I think that's kind of the best way to have that community feel, and making sure people are as comfortable as possible. Videos, what I've always find, are quite daunting because people don't like necessarily being on video. But like I said, once you've done a couple of them, you tend to get more confident and it doesn't bother you so much then.
Yeah, and I love that idea of sort of supporting, helping on that journey and building that confidence. And I know one of the things I've done in businesses previously was sort of running film school, which helped people to understand how best to produce films and edit them. And there's some really, you know, free and easy tools out there that help people put those things together and can look absolutely great and don't take a lot of effort or a lot of experience or particularly a lot of skill either. And I know we found that people were not just finding that as a benefit at work, but they were taking it back outside work to interests they had, or even just videos of their family or their kids or some events they were at, etc. So I think if people can get past that barrier and start to do something, then they can really pick up some skills and interest and really dive in and get involved.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think with anything, when you're creating content, I think you're gaining those skills that you didn't necessarily have. And like you said, with everything that we've got at the moment and the technology that we have available, it's a lot easier than it was back in the day. You're not having to kind of go in, have lots of like editing software that's going to potentially break your laptop or anything like that. So yeah, it's a lot more easier, a lot more easier.
So there will be some objections out there in businesses, and you know, there'll be learning people sat there thinking, I can just hear my business saying this or my SME asking this. So let's run through some of those objections and we can go through some of our responses or things that we can help people to deal with those objections they might be facing. So if we start with the one from SME, so I just haven't got time to start producing content for you. I've got a whole full-time job going on over here.
I think from an SME point of view, you've got to sell them the benefits, basically. So generally, you've got the subject matter experts and there's a need for them to create content. So there might be an issue. You might need to share that knowledge out for a wider team. They might be training people, etc. So I think that would be, you're actually spending X, Y and Z amount of time on dealing with things that you need to resolve, and you might be spending lots of time on training people. So actually, by creating some content and sharing that to your wider audience, so those people that are asking you the questions are people that are needing training, actually you can do it in one hit as opposed to answering all of those individuals. So as much as you might put in a bit extra time to creating some content, actually you're going to save a lot of time in the long run by being able to share that content really quickly. And then it's there for the future as well. So it's not just the people in the right now, it's the people that might be coming into the team, etc. So it does save a lot of time. We've done it before where we've had one of the examples is that we had the payroll team and they shared out the weekly reports and kind of like what's happening, when you're going to get your payslip and things like that. And previously they used to get like tons and tons of inquiries about it. We put it onto the learning system, just a PDF, and that reduced it by loads. You know, like they'd only get one or two emails then after that. So it's just understanding that benefit and being able to kind of bring that alive to people, and then they see the benefit, and then obviously they're quite comfortable with creating content.
Another one that will come from SMEs, and some of it's rooted in imposter syndrome, is, you know, who's going to listen to me? Am I really an expert? You know, why should I be producing content?
We've actually found previously, like when you've got learning teams that are internal and they're creating content, that's all well and good. People will watch it and people will engage with it. But peer-to-peer content is way more impactful because the people that are actually watching the content can relate a lot more to the person that's also doing that job than just someone that's either a contractor in or someone that's just in the digital learning team or whatever. So yeah, as much as you might not think that you're worthy of being or creating content, you actually are, and it's way more impactful. And you're the people that are doing the jobs day in, day out. You're the ones that have the skills, and you shouldn't take that for granted.
One of the challenges, again, that will come from learning teams is sometimes I'm trying to help an SME or an expert get across their message and they just know too much. They can't get to the point, or they don't even sometimes value the things that they know because they just take them for granted. So what's the best way of helping an SME who's maybe struggling to get their points out or really be able to articulate their expertise or provide a set of top tips?
I think then you need to look at what the issue is. So like, why are they creating content in the first place, and really roll it back to that purpose? Because like you said, if someone knows lots of things, that is a well and good, but you might not be solving absolutely everything. You might just be looking at kind of one particular topic in a more broader topic. So it's just getting people to understand that content doesn't have to be really long. And it shouldn't be really long, in my opinion. Content should be bite-sized and interchangeable. So it's just breaking that down and sitting down with them. And you might storyboard that out. You might write down kind of what you're trying to achieve and then break that down further. But it's keeping to the point and keeping to that purpose and making sure that you don't lose that, because otherwise people can tend to ramble on and create too much content and not make it relevant to people.
And I think it's having that every man approach in terms of every person in the business. So the expert or the subject matter expert knows a lot more than most people have as their base knowledge set. So by asking a set of questions or just asking a little why, almost being like that annoying three-year-old, you can get lots and lots of content out of people they didn't realise they had within them because they just take that stuff for granted.
Yeah.
So if we're also looking, one of the objections you might get back is someone saying, I'm just not very good at writing stuff down, or I'm not very comfortable on video. What are the other ways that you can help extract information from an SME?
So if someone's really not comfortable creating their own content, you could interview them and, like you said, kind of extract some of that information out and then be able to either kind of help them create content, or you can use that to create content anyway. So like you said, if you're looking at some top tips or a process, you're able to do that with them by interviewing them, so getting that information anyway. And for that, I'd kind of interview a few people, so you're getting kind of different points as well. So yeah, that's one of the ways that you could do that as well.
In terms of a business, sometimes an objection to people producing their own content is it won't be perfect. It won't look like our brand. It won't look like a movie. It won't look like we've really invested in this content. How do you deal with that objection?
It's happened to me in the past where people have said that, but I think people need to understand what you're doing is trying to solve a problem that's internal to kind of your work. So it's not going out onto the TV as an advert or onto YouTube as an advert or anything like that. What you're doing is creating some learning for your people to then understand or better understand a process or an issue or whatever it is that you're creating content for. So it doesn't have to be perfect. And actually the people are like your audience, like your learners, they're not looking for that. So you could create the most swish video and it could look amazing and it could take hours and hours and hours for you to create it. And you can get Bob in the local shop to create exactly the same bit of content with the same information. Obviously, it won't look the same necessarily, but most people won't even notice a difference. So like you said, if you give them those sort of kind of base skills, that toolbox that they've got to create that content, you can create something pretty good anyway. And it's a bit more authentic then, as opposed to being more marketing looking. So yeah, I think it's just getting over that hurdle and realizing what the purpose of the content's for.
And I think that's a really important point, that when you're starting this, you'll put a lot of effort in. You've talked earlier about developing those SMEs, supporting them in their skills. So you get a bit of a baseline of some user-generated content going, but ideally you want that not just to be a project, but to be ongoing and sort of last and spread through the business, so that people are wanting to share their own content or their own expertise. But if you start off with sort of very polished, highly expert content and you don't lower the barriers a bit, sometimes that can be quite intimidating to people. So what other techniques have you used to try and spread that sort of viral approach to user generated content across the business?
So previously, like, I've launched systems before and it's just had content that's been created more professionally, I guess. But what we did then, because we wanted other people to create their content, is we'd kind of handpick some people that we knew that would be supportive and actually create content. And we taught them how to do everything. We gave them their toolbox, etc. And then they were able to run with that. And that's when the kind of fear of missing out came in. So other people that were at the same level as them thought, and they saw the impact that these people were making on their teams, and they could see the benefit of it, of them creating their content and doing it in a different way rather than kind of, I don't know, calling everyone or sending out loads of emails. They were able to kind of reach a bigger audience, and the impact that they had on their teams was far greater by doing that. And then people were coming to us going, look, we want to create our own content as well. So it's kind of like that fear of missing out. And we were able to then kind of teach people and get everyone set up. I think there was about a group of nearly 30 people, and we were able to get them all set up within about a month. So they were able to have that skills, the toolbox, to be able to kind of go in and teach their people as well. But that then had a knock-on effect to their wider audience, and they were then creating their own content. But you can do it in different ways. You can have people that kind of can upload it straight away, or you can get other people to start creating content for you and then uploading that, so you're putting into kind of more structured learning. So it depends, but I think it is finding those people that you know are going to be super confident and you know that are kind of tech savvy and things like that, and they're not going to worry, and then they're your advocates for it, and then other people can see kind of how easy it is to create that and the impact that they're having on it.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that a lot of your people will already be producing content, you know, things like YouTube and TikTok are user generated content, and your people will be using those platforms not just as consumers of content, but also creators and sharers of content. So you've probably got a lot more skills in your business than you realize.
Yeah, for sure, because I think if you think about like when like Facebook, Instagram, all of those sorts of apps kind of first were available on our phone, you think about like the kind of pictures that you were taking and things like that, and like how bad cameras were on phones and things like that, and how awful they looked and pixelated and stuff, and like how far that's come, and how easy it is to produce kind of good quality content at your fingertips. Like, you've got all that software there, you've got the capability, and it's just a click of a button. So yeah, I think people aren't realizing what they're doing in their day-to-day lives is creating content. You are sharing your stories, you're sharing your information, you're doing that anyway. So yeah, that's a really good point.
Katie, thank you for sharing some tips for people on how to approach user-generated content. Obviously, if anyone wants to get in touch and ask some more or talk through some of those approaches in more detail, they can get in touch, and all of those contact details and some of the tools you mentioned will be in the show notes below. But what we would like more than anything is if anyone has any great examples of user-generated content stories they've approached or how they've used user-generated content in their business, we'd love to hear from you about those. Or also if anyone's got any really great example of user-generated content that's impacted your business, please share those as well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. You can register to join the Learning Effect community. The link to do so is in the show notes below. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if the Learning Effect can help you and your organisation, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.